The Lord led Pam and myself to name the church Heritage Christian Center, and your heritage is what belongs to you because of who you are. And so I was very excited about teaching on those things, and it didn't take me long to figure out that people weren't really connecting with the message. They were connecting with the worship and those sorts of things. And what the Lord revealed to me was that I was trying to teach people what belonged to them because of who they are, and they didn't know who they were. They didn't know who they are in Christ. And so in order for you to know what belongs to you because of who you are, you got to know who you are. If you don't know who you are, then there's nothing for an explanation from the Word of God concerning what belongs to you to rest upon. And of course, we talk about, you know, out of Isaiah where he says it's line upon line, line upon line. And so, of course, the answer to that was to begin to teach people who they are in Christ Jesus. And we've done that consistently now for many years. And of course, along the way, we've talked a lot about what belongs to us because of who we are. And so in a similar way, I'm really, really excited about letting our soul delight itself in abundance. But if you look carefully at this passage, you see that there is a prerequisite. In other words, when I went to college, there were classes that I wanted to take, but you couldn't take that class until you took this one. You know, there was prerequisites, you know, and things that were you had to take first. And so we see that there is a very important prerequisite that will allow your soul to delight itself in abundance. And so let's look at it. He says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy?" Let me stop right here. Maybe we'll develop this some more later, but I was meditating on this verse really early this morning, and the symbolism of water and wine and milk and bread, a lot of parallels, the washing, the water of the Word, living water, the milk of the Word, the Holy Spirit representing the new wine of the Holy Spirit, and of course Jesus being the living bread. And these are symbolic of the Word of God, what Jesus came to do for us, the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. And then he finishes this, verse number 2, "Listen carefully to me." And so we learned last week that there's different levels of listening. It's one thing to listen, it's another thing to listen carefully. Now, I don't intend to, but I may, but I don't intend to go back through that list. I know some of you didn't get the whole list. You were taking notes. And so what I've done is I've printed it out, and they're on the table to my left. To my right. And it'll be on the left as you go out the right-hand door in the back of the sanctuary. If you're watching online, the church website is hccnow.org. Go to the resources tab, and that list of the 9 levels of listening are there as well if you would want to access them there. But we learned last week that not all listening is created equal, and there's different levels of listening. And I don't think I'm going to go over all those again tonight, but we may reference some things to do with that list. So listening is one thing, listening carefully, and of course to me, if you notice the "me" is capitalized because this is God himself speaking. "Listen carefully to me, eat what is good," again, the living bread, the bread of life, "and let your soul delight itself in abundance." So, listening and eating, listening and eating, if we're talking about feasting on the Word of God, then you don't take that in through your mouth. You take it in through your ear, and then speak it out of your mouth. So let's lay some groundwork here. Letting your soul delight itself in abundance begins with listening carefully to the word of the Lord. We even use the expression, I need to chew on that. Somebody tells us something and we got maybe a decision to make, or we're not really sure it applies to us, or what have you. And I said, well, let me chew on that for a little while. And we're not literally, you know, like talking about writing on a piece of paper and chewing on it like tobacco. We're talking about processing it in our minds. So letting your soul delight itself in abundance begins with listening carefully to the word of the Lord. I think, and let me go back to it, because, you know, when we first started this teaching, again, I was so excited about this. It just kind of went off in my spirit, you know, let your soul delight itself in abundance. And we talked about, and it's still applicable, right? We talked about Abraham receiving Isaac raised from the dead in a figure, meaning he had pictured it inwardly. And that's one of our imagination and is a factor of our soul and beginning to picture ourselves. I heard Brother Keith Moore talk about long before he had a vision of flying, much less owning his own plane, that Brother Copeland, again, prophetically seeing that for Keith before Keith could see it for himself, he told him, he said, climb up in the cockpit of my plane and get in the pilot's seat and sit there and make airplane noises, which that may sound childish. But, of course, Keith Moore did that. And of course, now he not just rides in, but pilots jet airplanes. And so Pastor Samuel from Kisii, he was up. He preached in church in Nairobi for Pastor Cornelius Sunday, and he's visiting his brother and friend there. He got a 7-hour bus ride plus, 7-plus-hour bus ride back to Kisii. And he was talking about, you know, if he was driving, he was kidding around about just when Cornelius was asleep, taking Cornelius's van and driving, because he could get back driving it in around 3 hours, 3.5 hours. And so I just used what I heard from Brother Copeland. I said, well, tell you what, it was dark out there when they were, I said, in the morning, you go out there, get behind the wheel of Cornelius's van, get him to take a picture of you. Amen. And begin to see yourself. Begin to see yourself. That's letting your soul delight itself in abundance. So I've offered lists of this nature before, but let me go back to this tonight. Remember, or if you haven't heard here for the first time, prosperity does not begin in your bank account. It begins in your soul. Righteousness does not begin in your behavior. Amen? I say it begins in your soul. It actually begins in your spirit, flows through your soul, out in the world around you. But righteousness doesn't begin in your behavior. It begins in your inward man, not your outward. Freedom does not begin in your daily habits. It begins, again, in your spirit, through your soul, and changes your daily habits. Healing does not begin in your physical condition. Abundant life does not begin with your living conditions. Something on the inside of you that changes what's on the outside of you. The peace of God that passes understanding and the joy of the Holy Ghost, they do not begin with, nor are they dependent upon your circumstances. Not based upon that. What's it based upon? Well, 3 John 2. And we quote 3 John 2 a lot, but I want you to see 2, 3, and 4 tonight. It says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as, New King James says, even as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified to the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now, John wrote this in his senior years, and he was the elder statesman, if you will, of the church. And so even grown adult men and women, he considered them to be children. And he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And as a servant leader in the body of Christ, I definitely am picking up what John's putting down right there. Man, when I hear and witness and see the word of our Father transforming your life by the renewing of your mind, it gives me great joy to see you plugged into and laying hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of you. It is a beautiful thing. And so we see then that a prosperous soul requires a listening ear. You must listen carefully to what God says so that your soul can delight itself in abundance. When I first introduced delight, let your soul delight itself in abundance, I said it's like this, but it's not exactly like this. And I said, just, you know, imagine if money were no object, and what would you do, and who would you help, and all this stuff. That's part of it. But if I'm not careful, that can just be vain imaginations. To truly let your soul delight itself in abundance, we must, our inward image, our imagination must be based upon and rooted in the Word of God. That's why he says, listen carefully to me, eat what is good. When you eat something, it becomes a part of you. You know, our moms and dads and parents, grandparents, they said, you are what you eat. And there's some truth to that. Because when you go to sleep tonight, your body's going to go into maintenance mode. And whatever vitamins, whatever minerals, nutrients, whatever that you've taken into your body, your body is going to use that to build new cells in your body. And so physically speaking, you are what you eat. And again, spiritually speaking, so listening carefully is, and so again, back to chewing on it and what that means in our vernacular, that would be involve meditating it and muttering it and quoting it and personalizing it. Not just letting it go in one ear and out the other. But listen to me, brother, sister, if you will develop that as a pattern of life, your soul delighting itself in abundance will be virtually automatic. Now, when it comes to anything with the mind, we have to be disciplined. We can't just, because the enemy's trying to do a number on us in our minds and in our thinking, and we have to bring thoughts captive, and we have to be disciplined, and we have to set our minds. I understand all that. But out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. See, the bigger picture of all this is there are some folks who've heard some things about the power of your words. And again, they're biblical things. But they just go spouting things off without it being in their heart in abundance. Are you following me? A faith confession doesn't begin in the mouth. It begins in the heart. It's got to be in the heart first and then come out of the mouth. Well, how do we get it in the heart? We get it in the heart by listening carefully to the Word of God and by eating the good Word of God and feasting on the word, good Word of God, nursing, if you will, on the good Word of God. If you compare to the different ways that we eat, sometimes we snack. This morning I just had some things going. I just fixed me a cup of coffee. And I'm not much of a coffee drinker. So I just kind of sip it. I can make a cup of coffee last an hour and a half. I get it. I put it in one of those double walled insulated things, or else it'll be ice cold before I ever finish it. Sometimes we sip. Sometimes we snack. Sometimes we feast. Sometimes we, you know, may eat a big lunch and then we just eat a light dinner. You understand? There's different ways that we take food in. How many of you know all of them count? Okay. Well, think about that in as different ways that we might chew on or take into ourselves the Word of God. You know, you can listen to the Word of God when you lay down at night to sleep, or when you're driving, you can listen to sermons. You can then you can sit down with the Word of God in your lap and read it, or get a notebook and make some notes. All of these are different ways of ingesting, taking in the Word of God. But notice it all goes back to listening. It all goes back to listening carefully to the Lord. I hope that you have these experiences while you're here, and I hope that you have these experiences when it's just you and the Lord fellowshipping. But I wouldn't even know where to start to give you a number of how many times a verse that I memorized 30 years ago, the Lord will show me something from that verse I've never seen before. And it's almost like, how have I known this verse this many years and not seen that, right? Well, again, listening carefully means that you're leaning in, you're looking. And it's amazing how when you do that, the Lord begins to speak powerfully to us. Now, notice, if we do all of this, we're not going to have any problem whatsoever letting our soul delight itself in abundance if we listen carefully. So you must listen carefully to what God says so that your soul can delight itself in abundance. So let's go back to the faith confession thing. You know, confess the word. I heard somebody say a long time ago, and I didn't really understand it, but I do now. And I understand to some extent that this can fall over into a religious mindset. So just hear back to that level of listening where I'm wanting you to feel me more so than hear me. But the lady said, you know, sometimes you have to pray until you can pray. And I thought, well, that don't make no sense. But I understand sometimes, you know, you have to push through some things. Sometimes you have to, pray and pray in unknown tongues and be flowing in the Spirit, and then it's like you catch another gear. An effectual, fervent prayer. Now, again, I understand how that could sound a bit religious, and that was how I took it when the lady said it to me. But now that I'm older, I understand what she means by that. Sometimes I have to preach a little while before I can preach. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes I have to teach. Now, I try to be ready, shot out of a cannon every time I get up here in front of you, but even sometimes I got so many things going on in my heart and mind, I'm just trying to find that vein, that river, and flow in it, you know. And so in the same way, not every time we necessarily speak the Word of God, it would classify as what we would call a faith confession. But sometimes you got to confess it until you can confess it, till it comes alive in you. Amen. Amen. Pastor Bill Winston talks about, he would write his resignation letter, whatever it is, to resign from Xerox. He was I think, top salesman in Xerox there in the Chicagoland area. I think it was Chicago, maybe Minnesota, somewhere up there. And it was on his heart to go into full-time ministry, and he would, decide, okay, we're going to do it. I'm just going to quit. I'm quit my job. Go to, you know. And every time he'd get close to doing it, he'd back away from it. And he can tell you where he was in the car listening to Jerry Savelle, a verse that he knew, right? When he talks about leaving houses and lands for my sake in the Gospels, it'll not be returned back to you many times over, both in this life and the life that is to come, houses, lands. And he said when he heard him say, again, he's listening carefully now. He's listened to this sermon many times. Right? But watch this now. That time, listening carefully, he heard lands, and the Holy Spirit breathed on that, because land was how they earned income. Follow me? Land, there was a farmer ain't got no land. Ain't much of a farmer, right? You got to have the land to plant the crops. And when he heard land that time, the Holy Spirit revealed to him, I'm talking about income. So he, in the Spirit, saw leaving his position at Xerox. Did I say that right? Xerox, the copying dudes, amen. He saw his position as walking away from that job as walking away from lands. Now again, some of you are like, what? You know, but again, this is how he was able to, because what was in his soul up until that point? I'm going to walk away from this and my family's going to starve. I got all this money coming in. I'm doing well. I got all this, you know, all this great income. These people love me. Right. And now I'm going to walk away from this. I'm going to try to start a church and, I'm not going to make it. Now, notice the process though. He listened carefully, listened carefully, listened carefully, listened carefully until he could let his soul delight in abundance. He wasn't afraid to quit Xerox anymore. And if you ever heard him tell the story, it's a funny thing. He went in there and resigned, and the guy's like, oh, close the door. Come on, Bill, won't you just take a couple of weeks off? Don't do nothing crazy here, you know, so stuff, you know. But at that point, his soul was already delighting itself in abundance. And he's never looked back. Are you with me? If you ever heard him, y'all ever listen to Bill Winston? He says, come to Chicago with $200. He said that so many times, like if he says it in his church now, he says, me and my wife, we came to Chicago, and they'll go, $200. Like they've heard it so much. But again, he went believing that because he left that income, that the Lord was not only going to replace it, but replace it many times over. So, true outward prosperity flows from God into a born-again spirit through a prosperous soul. That's the pattern. That's the pattern. True outward prosperity flows from God into a born-again spirit. We've talked about our spirit as our soul as a valve. It flows from God into a born-again spirit through a prosperous soul. That's how we experience prosperity outwardly. But I know I've done it once. Let's go back to it. Prosperity doesn't begin in your bank account. Righteousness doesn't begin in your behavior. Freedom doesn't begin in your daily habits. Healing doesn't begin in your physical condition. Abundant life doesn't begin with your living conditions. The peace of God that passes understanding and the joy of the Holy Ghost do not begin with, nor are they dependent upon your circumstances. Now, why is it important for it to go in this order? Well, first and foremost, God created us to live from the inside out. This is the established pattern that God put in place for us and for our benefit. But let's, again, a verse you're familiar with, Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. If we seek delight in obtaining our desires, we're reversing the God-ordained flow, and this is not true prosperity. It's not true prosperity. What is true prosperity? The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. See, if you go after these things to acquire them in hopes of bringing satisfaction, contentment, joy, all that to your life, if I just get what I want, I'll be satisfied. It's placing the emphasis on the outward man while ignoring the inward man. And we hear it all the time. I'm not going to go into all these stories, but people who have, you know, seemingly anything and everything they want in this world, but they're miserable. It's because they may have the things of this world, but they have no inward abundance. They don't have a healthy soul. You still with me? All right. Now, we could talk a lot there, but we've got to understand that order of things. When I'm in the part of the scriptures now where Solomon's building the temple. Man, the wealth. Man, you talking about plush. Come on now. Only the finest. I believe that just like the tabernacle was a copy of the one that's in heaven, the dimensions and everything. For some reason, those solid gold pineapples. I don't know why. I'm like, Lord, I want to see one of them one day, man. I forget how many of those things they had. The gold shields, anybody that thinks like God's low budget, you don't know him. He is not low budget. Yeah, I'm sitting here, listen, I mean, Solomon said, all them stones that's going to go in here, he said, you get them cut into shape before you bring them here. He goes, I don't want the sound of stones being fashioned to ever be heard in my God's temple. I mean, just, then was it 100,000 sheep that he sacrificed? So, 120? I just read it all to know, but you know, I'm sitting there listening to all that. I mean, how many times, you know, we read it, listened to it, whatever, and I'm sitting there and going like, listen carefully, right? Listen carefully. I'm like, man, God is, whew. So what's the point? The point is, he wants you to be blessed. He wants you to prosper. Amen. He doesn't want you to have a bunch of stuff and an empty soul. He doesn't want you to have all the desires outwardly, but still be impoverished inwardly. Are you following what I'm saying here? This is our Father's heart, and somewhere along the way. Now listen, I've said this before, at least from where I was and maybe where a lot of us were back in 1999. We were meeting we took three walls in a cabinet shop, you know what I mean? And to go from where we were to where we are in this building, it was a big step. And I'm listening to all that. I'm like, Lord, you know, I was trying to figure out how to do everything on a budget. You know what I'm saying? Like, we could have framed in these beams and sheetrocked these walls, but man, that would have cost this much. And you know, stuff. I'm not beating myself up or anything like that, you know, but we could have believed God for more. You know, this whole, what did, everybody talks about all this money they save in the Lord. The Lord asked Keith Moore one day, he says, when am I going to get all this money that the church is saving me? You know what I'm saying? Amen. Amen. You know, and I'm like, well, you know, we're just trying to just, you know, get by and all that stuff. You know, and that's, thank God Solomon didn't have that mindset. Somebody might say, well, you don't have Solomon's money. You're right, I got more. It doesn't begin in my bank account. Doesn't begin in my bank account. I mean, to give you some idea that the scale here, okay? If I'm remembering correctly, the chief of Pastor Samuel's village, and Pastor Samuel, if I got this wrong, you can correct me the next time we talk. The chief of his village wanted to come and see the motorcycle that the Lord gave him. Remember what Cornelius said? He said the motorcycles aren't just helping our pastors preach the gospel. The motorcycles are preaching the gospel.
Amen. Amen.
There are men who drive motorcycles that nobody in their entire family since like the last however many They've never owned anything even close to a motorcycle. Now, I'm not, listen, please hear me. It's a different culture. It's a different economy and all these other things. Now, kingdom economy, that's what the Lord's teaching our brothers and sisters there, that we're not dependent upon the government and the economy of the world. We're in the kingdom now. Amen. But when nobody you've ever known or related to has ever had anything, remember the brothers that just sit there and wept because they've almost 80 years old and never been given a Christmas gift? Remember the other brother who sat there and wept because we gave them the equivalent of 100 U.S. dollars, sat there and wept because this man, again, well up in years, first time in his life he's ever had all at one time the equivalent of 100 U.S. dollars. Okay. Now, again, it doesn't make somebody that was raised in a different economy any better. Or I'm not saying that because, you know, we think here in the United States it's a rite of passage. You know, you get a certain age, you get a car. Are you following me? Right? So I want Pastor Samuel to see himself. You know what they call what Pastor Cornelius calls the van that we bought him? He calls it the gospel jet. The gospel jet. Because for them, the time that it saves is like flying in an airplane. As opposed to, you know, I can't, matatu. It means crazy driver. And of course, it's a joke there, but there are crazy drivers there. I'm just telling you. But praise God. So, but listen now, what is it in your life that you've never done that you can't see yourself doing yet or owning yet or having yet? Are you following me? There's this building. Listen, it's a nice building. It serves our purposes. I'm not trying to be critical, but I'm trying to finish tonight. Y'all still with me? I don't want you to think that I'm not being grateful or appreciative, but I don't want us to get to heaven one day to find out what we could have had and how we could have lived if we'd just listened carefully to the Lord and let our soul delight itself in abundance. Are you following me? This next statement, it's a strong one, okay? I believe it's true, though. Nothing has or ever will cost us more than what not listening to God costs us. Now, I've made similar statements about fear, and certainly fear has robbed us of many victories. But what did God say to us over and over and over and over again? Do not be afraid. I mean, can you imagine one day going, what do you think I meant when I said don't be afraid? I mean, you know what I'm saying? When he said don't be afraid, he means don't be afraid. Are we listening to him? Amen. Remember when he's given Joshua the marching orders? What's the biggest thing that he kept saying to Joshua? Obviously, be courageous, do not be afraid. But what was the other thing that he told him? Listen to me. Listen to me. Just do what I tell you to do. Just do what I tell you to do. Listen to me. Now, let's do this. Amen. Back to picturing things inwardly. Sometimes I picture how, I know it sounds silly, but I picture like me preaching whatever it is the Lord's given me to preach, you know, and sometimes how I envision it and how it turns out, not always the same thing, okay? This was, I didn't see myself like being real calm walking through this tonight. I saw myself like really fired up and hollering and screaming, but that's okay. We're good. You got time for just a little bit more? Amen. This is a big passage, but maybe we'll comment some more on it next week, but I feel like we need to do this tonight, so let's do this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 13. If you're familiar with this passage, he's talking about the odyssey from Egypt to the promised land and how all of that was recorded for our benefit to serve as an example for us to learn from and not make the same mistakes that others made in the past. And so he says, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea." This is talking about, remember, cloud by day, fire by night, passed through the sea when God parted the Red Sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. This is, you know, Donald was talking about when Pam and I were at the ministers' conference. Is where heaven and earth come together. The food and the drink were spiritual, but it quenched their thirst and filled their bellies. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, and this is sad right here, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, and not become idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, "The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained, and were destroyed by the destroyer." Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition. That means our warning and our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. So again, they were, I guess, if you look at the biblical timeline, they were somewhere in the middle, Adam and Eve being the beginning. Now here we are, the ends of the ages. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, if you've studied and at least read or studied the journey from Egypt, and of course, you know, the first generation fell in the wilderness, and that second generation, Joshua, led into the promised land. Even Moses didn't go into the promised land. You know why Moses didn't go into the promised land? He didn't listen carefully. God told him to, what, speak to the rock, and he struck it. Are you following me? So there were lots of problems and issues that these folks had, but their number one problem, they didn't listen. They didn't listen. God told them to go get just enough manna for today. What'd they do? They hoarded it in their houses. He told them to get enough on Saturday for 2 days. There wouldn't be any on the Sabbath. I said Saturday, Friday, really, but what'd they do? They got up looking for it on the Sabbath. And we could, again, we could go on and on and on and on. Not listening was their biggest problem. So he says that this is an example for us. And obviously we could teach and preach for months on that whole scenario. But the bottom line is, it all comes back to them not listening. And he's saying that we need to learn from their examples. In other words, nothing ever has or ever will cost us more than what not listening to God costs us, is the point. So not listening was their biggest problem. Here we go. God always has a way out for us, but we must be willing to listen to Him and trust Him enough to do what He says. You know, that's such a great promise, that He'll always make a way of escape. But what obviously is implied by Him recounting the history of those who came before us is, you got to listen. You got to listen, and listen carefully. So God has a way out of poverty for His children, a way out of living paycheck to paycheck with no cushion, no margin, no surplus. But we must be willing to listen to what He says and trust Him enough to do what He says. Stand with me tonight. What I'm trying to do, and I know I'm out of time, but what I'm trying to show you is there is a way out, but we got to listen. Amen. We've got to listen. And in the same way that listening, not listening to God was their biggest problem, I believe the same could be said today. The body of Christ. I know some of you were in class. Vanessa, you, Matt, y'all remember this well. Vanessa was looking for a dentist on a Friday. And I don't know if it's the same today, but it used to be you couldn't find a dentist on a Friday. And it was fairly urgent, and she, you know, was calling family, and, you know, none of us knew of one. So she found Midfield Dental Center was open and would take her. And so she called Mom to tell her, hey, I found a dentist. I got an appointment such and such a time. I think Mom hung up and then called you back, right? She called Vanessa back and she said, Vanessa, I'm just telling you, the Lord said, don't go to that dental office today. And Vanessa's like, well, okay, you know. And Mom said, I don't really know why, but I'm just telling you, the Lord said, don't go. And so Vanessa called him and canceled the appointment. Beautiful day. No thunderstorm, none of that. The time that Vanessa and Will and Jesse would have been sitting in that waiting room, an oak tree fell through that waiting room that day. He made a way of escape. But notice, it was listening. Okay? Now, Mom could have heard that and said, oh, that's silly. She's, I'm not, bless her heart, her mouth's hurting and she's looking for a dentist. Mom's okay. So she called her. But now what? See, now then Vanessa could have said, my mother-in-law, if your mouth was hurting as bad as my mouth's hurting, you know, she could have had that attitude, right? There's no explanation as to why. Just don't. Don't go there. Tell her don't go there today. And so Mom listened to the Lord. Thank God Vanessa listened to Mom. Cancel the appointment. Now, see, this is what happens. And I'm not trying to make anybody mad. But you're going to get to heaven one day. You're going to find out. You know, it's like, where was God when all this was happening? He was hollering at you. But you weren't listening. You weren't listening. So let's say they go get crushed, all broken up, and maybe even killed in that waiting room. You know, it's like, everybody's like, I can't believe God let this happen. You know, people all kind of, you know, it's like, or how about God's punishing the Winslet family? They're a bunch of fake stuff. There's all kinds of things that could have been said and whatever. You know what I'm saying? Again, what it really all boiled down to is the devil set a trap. God made a way of escape. But we can't take advantage of the way of escape if we don't listen. We gotta listen. All right. Amen. Father, we love you. Now let me say this. I'm gonna say it. I'm getting bold with it. There are people on planet Earth whose lives were cut way too short because they didn't listen. Not because God took them. He may have received them if they were born again. He didn't take them. What about all the stories we've heard of people that were supposed to be in those towers? Some people didn't even really walk close with God, but just something told them. That something is... Katie Sheffield says he has a name. I heard Brother Creflo Dollar say he was just before the Lord. He's like, Lord, you know, I don't understand all this. And the Lord told Creflo, and I believe it. You don't have to believe it to go to heaven, but this is what the Lord told Creflo. He said, I tried to warn every person in that building that day. Amen. You say, Pastor Mark, I don't believe that. Well, the Bible says wisdom is crying out on every street corner. Amen. Amen. Father, help us listen. Help us understand the importance of listening. We're not ignorant of the devil's devices. And Father, I believe one of his devices is for us to be so inundated with information, so many voices speaking in our world today, that we fail sometimes to incline our ear to hear what you are saying to us. Father, that's one of the things that's so important about us prioritizing this time together on Wednesday night, Lord, the middle of our week, where, you know, we meet at the first of the week, now we meet at the middle of the week. We come together, we fellowship with one another, we fellowship with you, we worship you, we encounter your spirit and your presence in a corporate way. We hear your word and you speak to us, Father. Away from the television, away from the devices and the iPads and the smartphones and all the music, all these other things, Father, that are all around us, Lord, a safe, quiet place to come, the secret place of the Most High, to hear you, to hear your voice, a place where it's easy to listen. It's easy to listen. Some places it's harder to listen than other places. Father, let Heritage be a place where it's easy to hear you. Where the word of God is not rare, but it's plenteous. It flows and you're speaking and you're giving us wisdom and practical things. Ways of escape, Father. Calamity that's coming. Jesus, you said it must come. But it doesn't have to come to us and to our homes and to our families if we'll just listen. Tell us, Lord, what to do. You told them to put the blood over the doorpost of their heart, of their homes, and you said the death angel would pass over. There were people who listened. And their babies lived. There were people who laughed and scoffed and didn't listen. And it cost them dearly. It cost them dearly. Father, one of the greatest hallmarks of maturity is our ability to listen. Our ability to listen. Father, we want to be high-level listeners here at Heritage. Father, how frustrating it must be for you trying to speak to people who won't listen. Lord, let this be a place of rest. Lord, like Bethany was a place of rest for Jesus when he walked the earth, Father, let Heritage be a place of rest, Father, where you can speak to people here and they listen to you. And our souls will delight in abundance. And Father, once our souls delight in abundance, there is no stopping prosperity and abundance from manifesting in our life reality. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. Sometimes you preach until you can pray and then preach while you're praying. Amen. All right. I love you. I'm thankful for you. Ask the Lord eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to understand. Help me listen. Incline your ear to his voice. Pay attention to what he's already said to you in his written word. And that'll tune your ear into hearing his voice in your innermost being. Know that you love. Know that Jesus is Lord. We look forward to seeing you again on Sunday morning. Tell somebody around you that you love them, and have a wonderful rest of your week.